This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is a weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, I talked with Associate Professor and Director of Research in the Masters of Athletic Training Program, Dr. Scott Bruce, and Cleveland, Ohio native graduate student Megan Etter. Dr. Bruce tells about the program. He also talks about research being conducted to help Arkansas State's baseball team.
The program is only in its second year. And so I was brought on last year, and one of the things that I had said that I wanted to do was put together a research agenda for our students. And so last summer, I was able to secure funding for two machines. One is known as the Tracer, and another one is the Reflection Edge. Megan is doing her research with the Reflection Edge. The Reflection Edge is a Vizio motor reaction time unit. It's a light board. It's 2 feet high, 6 feet long. Lights come on and you hit the targets. And it's measuring, you know, how long it takes you to react to those targets and everything else. The other unit is a whole body reaction unit where you have to move your whole body to hit these virtual targets, and then you go back to the center and another target pops up. So what we're looking at is trying to create injury prediction models. We're also looking at concussions and the effect of concussions on injuries, on reaction time, and on maybe future injuries. And then Megan is doing a baseball-related study.
All right. And with that, when we go into like injuries, especially like concussions, I know one of the parts of research is trying to find the areas that, you know, that are kind of unique and new when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. So with all of the work that's been going on, like say in concussions and kind of what you're doing, where do you find the uniqueness to be able to work on those kinds of things?
Well, that was the reason we got the two pieces of research equipment. Dr. Susan Hanrahan, our dean, was very generous and was able to provide that funding for us. And so I told our students, okay, you need to come and talk to me about your research, but you need to know that you need to include these two pieces of research in your study. Mm-hmm. I sat down with the students, and we sort of molded their programs around what they wanted to do, and they may have focused on one unit or the other with their research. But like with the concussions, you're just looking for different areas and different things that the data is telling you. As you can imagine, the institution review board is not going to let me walk around and hit people over the head with a baseball bat to induce concussions.
Right.
So we have to look at other ways. So we look at people who have had concussions or had a history of concussions, and also athletes who get them during the season, and see if we can sort of pick out, are there risk factors? You know, we look at a lot of reaction time. Are they slower on the reaction time, and that's why they got the concussion? Or are they slower on the reaction time after they suffer the concussion, and then that's what leads to musculoskeletal injury?
Right. Let's talk, Megan, about what you've been working on with baseball-related injuries.
I'm actually not doing injuries. So I'm training the baseball team here on the light board. So my hope is that I train them on this vision and reaction time training, and their vision and reaction time improves. And I'm hoping it'll correlate to their batting averages, an improvement in batting averages.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done before, but not with the technology that we have. So I'm kind of creating a study that's already been done, recreating, but then putting my own with the new technology.
So tell us about this new technology, if you don't mind. Kind of describe what it, you know, what it is and how you use it.
So my baseball guys, so like he said, it's the light board. It has how many LED lights?
2,400 LED lights.
Yeah. And there's about 10 different modules, I guess you could call them.
Mm-hmm.
We do three to five a day. So the baseball guys come in 2 times a week, for 5 weeks in the fall, and then we're going to do 5 weeks in the spring. So I go through and I pick modules that I want to train them on. I can train them on reaction time of just their left hand, reaction time of just their right hand. There's so many things I can do, and then they just go through that, and then we're done, and then I check out the data.
Right. And so what is it that you're looking for?
Right now, I've been looking more just, like, an improvement in their reaction times from the first time I tested them. So the first day, they did 3 tests, and the very last day they came for the 5 weeks in the fall, we did the exact same 3 tests to see if there was an improvement, and it's looking good so far.
Right. Now, is it like reaction wave swings and those kinds of things?
Yeah. So the hope is that training the reaction time, getting the reaction time better, will help them when they swing, because you have very little time to react to a baseball, especially like a fastball or a curveball. You have to decide so quick if you're going to hit it or not. So I'm hoping like training the reaction time on this will help them see the ball better, hit the ball better.
Right. And your thoughts on this research?
Well, the technology that it was originally done on was a different kind of a light board. This technology that we have is sort of like the second generation. And so we're just repeating the study that was done several years ago at the University of Cincinnati. And they saw an improvement in batting average and fielding average, both. And so we're hoping to see that as well. Excuse me. The a baseball player has about 15 milliseconds to make a decision on whether or not they're going to swing at the pitch or not. And then they've got to make that decision. They've got to initiate the swing. And then they also have to figure out, okay, where does the bat have to be to hit the ball? Well, all of that, you know, you're having to process a lot of information at the same time. And so it's what's called dual task activity. And so you're having to think about it, and then you're having to do it. Well, the sooner you can process the information cognitively, thinking about it, the faster you're going to be able to react to it. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get them to process the information and react. So they had the three tests that she talked about. Was one was, it's called the big G, but we tell them it's like whack-a-mole. The light comes on, you hit it. Either hand, you can move, do whatever you want. The second one is go, no-go. So there's two targets that they have to keep their fingers on the light board. And if a red light comes on, they can't touch it. If it's a green light, they can hit it. And that's what we want them to do. And they're focusing on a plus sign in the middle of the board so that they're also working on peripheral vision as well. The third test is called a rail test. It's right-left activity, something I forget now exactly what rail stands for. But if it's a purple light, they hit it with their right hand. If it's a yellow light, they hit it with their left hand. So now they have to process that information. So whenever you're looking at the data, the first time, on the first test, the big G, that's the test that they're fastest on, because all they're doing is just seeing and reacting. Now they have to start thinking. And the go, no-go, they can use either hand. So they're a little slower, but not as slow as they are on the rail. The rail's the slowest one, because now they have to make a decision of which hand to use, and they have to execute it with that hand.
Yeah. How long have you been working on this, Megan, on this research?
It's in full, like a year now. I mean, I had to come up with – I've always wanted to do baseball. That's like – when people ask my dream job, I always say MLB, always have. So when he said you have to pick a sport, I was like, I'm already done. And then we started working last year. I mean, on the small stuff, though, like finding resources and coming up with a question. And so, yeah, it's been a process. It's not close to being over either. So.
Right.
And she started last spring, and really we didn't know if she was going to be able to do the study until about June, whenever Dr. Hanrahan gave me the go-ahead to get the equipment. And so we got the equipment in, and we were able to get it before the start of preseason activities. So we baseline tested our football team, our women's soccer team, our women's volleyball team, both basketball teams, and the baseball team.
Fantastic. So is this something that you're continuing to do with the baseball team in that environment?
That's what we want to do, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we're hoping that we see this improvement. I mean, just looking at what we saw from the baseline to the post-test this fall, we saw a 200 millisecond improvement. And so that can be rather significant in terms of what they're able to do. Some of the players have told Megan that they actually feel like the ball's coming in a little slower, that they're actually able to see the ball a little bit better. That's just anecdotal. We'll find out in the spring whenever the stats are crunched on whether or not they're getting more hits.
Well, and that's the thing. I get in something like that, you wonder about the data, but the data is like right there by way of being on the field.
That's right. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Baseball is a luck sport, so I'm hoping that doesn't play too much effect. I mean, you can hit it as hard as you can, and someone makes a great play, so we'll see.
So, now, Megan, you're not from Arkansas originally,
no,
right?
No.
Where are you from?
I grew up in a town called Worcester, Ohio, but it's like northeast Clevelandish area.
Okay, so Cleveland, basically.
Claim Cleveland because nobody knows.
So obviously, a big sports town and that. Mm-hmm. And so how'd you come to Arkansas, in Arkansas State?
I applied to the PT program and then had a PT rotation and was like, I don't think I can sit in a clinic all day. And I've always loved sports growing up in Cleveland. It's kind of in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got my name through the application of the PT program and got a call. Didn't take much convincing because athletic training, like, all of a sudden clicked. I was like, why did I never think of that?
So fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is the second year of this program, as you said.
Yes.
So how are you able to get it developed and work on that?
Well, Dr. Robert Bradley is our program director. He was here for a year just doing the paperwork, just getting the nuts and bolts of the foundation put together. And I came in last summer, and we started teaching the classes. Megan's class had 8 in it. One student decided that athletic training wasn't for them, and another one decided to leave as well. So we're now down to 6 students in that class. We have 5 in our second cohort. The students in the first cohort, they will sit for their board exam this summer. They'll graduate this summer and hopefully have a job come next fall.
Right. And what is it about athletic training that just appeals to you? Because I know you're dealing with various injuries. I know you've already been working in that regard, having to deal with broken bones and those kinds of things. Well, what is it that attracts you to that, Megan?
Every single day is completely different. Like, not even close to the same as yesterday. And I was just telling him this other day, I was like, you want to come into work some days and just, like, relax and, like, go through the motions? I was like, you can't do that in athletic training. Someone's always asking you something that you have to think and answer for them because they want an answer. They want to know why they're hurt. They want to know when they're going to get back. They want to, want to know what they can do better. So I think that's it, like, keeping me on my toes. I can't just get, complacent. I also love sports. So.
Right.
It makes it fun to get, I don't get paid now, but to get paid in the future to watch sports.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How's it been working with Megan in this, Dr. Bruce?
The worst thing I can say about Megan is that she's a Cleveland Browns fan, and that's coming from a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah, we argue that, though.
She's also an Ohio State fan. I'm a Penn State fan, so we always – But that's the worst thing I can say about her. So I would take 10 more of Megan like that. Don't know that I want 10 more Browns fans, but I'd take 10 more Megans.
But so I know you probably would say the same thing, rivalry wise. Mm-hmm. But by way of helping out with the research and all that, how has Dr. Bruce been by way of helping you out, in what you've been working
super
on?
Super helpful. I mean, he is, if you had to pick someone in his experience in the clinical field and the research field, in his connections of people. So if he doesn't know something, he'll be like, I'll call my friend who's done this much. So it's like you have an endless supply of resources with him.
Yeah. What are the challenges people may not realize when it comes to athletic training and to that particular job? I imagine very stressful job, what are some of the challenges?
Well, it can be very stressful. I mean, if you're the head football athletic trainer at the University of Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa suffers a high ankle sprain and you're supposed to play your toughest competition in 2 weeks, that's a real challenge, and there's a lot of pressure associated with that. But, Alabama's got all kinds of lights, bells, whistles, and resources. But you know what? Jonesboro High School, they want the same thing. When their quarterback gets injured, they want their quarterback back there, just like Nick Saban wants Tua at Alabama. So, yeah, there's a lot of stress. Some of us handle it a little better than others. There are other people and coaches and sports that are more stressful than others. I personally love football and baseball. Those are my 2 favorite sports. And so I've had very few problems with coaches from those 2 sports. But other sports coaches, for whatever reason, have demands and they think that I'm treating their athletes different than the way I treat the football players, when in reality, I purposely don't go out of my way to try to do that at all.
Right.
The challenges, the number of people that you have to deal with. We're very blessed here at Arkansas State that we have so many athletic trainers on campus. There are 10 athletic trainers that work with our athletic teams. And so almost every athletic team has their own personal athletic trainer, at least while they're in season. And so, Jonesboro High School, they've got a lot of sports, but they've only got 1 athletic trainer. So imagine, you're getting hit from a lot of different directions and a lot of different athletes at different times. You go up to Williams Baptist, and there are 2 athletic trainers up there, and they've got all the different sports. Now, they don't have football, but they have a lot more sports than Arkansas State does. Yeah. So I think it's just the matter of the biggest challenge is the time commitment. And trying to find that life-work balance is key. And I think that's where a lot of young professionals really struggle, is trying to find that life-work balance.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to kind of go beyond Arkansas State and maybe kind of look at what other maybe high schools or be able to kind of, do that at other schools? Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to do that, Megan?
Yeah, I was at Jonesboro High School for 10 weeks. That's where I saw all my good stuff, all those injuries. And I also was at Williams Baptist. And he's right about the different resources. You have to change your complete rehab sometimes depending on what you have in your athletic training room. Here we have all the technology and all the pools, and you go to Williams Baptist and they have a heat pack. That's
sure.
all you have. You know,
right.
you have to figure it out. So, yeah, I have.
Problem solving.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So before we let you go, there's some people who say, well, we've got all this new technology that's out there and that, but there's still the challenge of, you know, as you said, you only have 2 weeks, you know, hurry up, get me well quick. And, you know, and there may be some expectation. Well, we've got all this new technology. We've got all these things. I imagine that could lead to some disadvantages, though. I mean, because there's this expectation that, you know, we're in 2019, 2020. We should get faster, you know, get healthier a lot faster. But sometimes, you know, that may not be the case.
I was just telling the students the other day in class that, you know, John Q. Public doesn't heal any slower, any faster than Tua does or any other athlete. Athletes heal at the same pace that everybody else does. We're able to do some things in rehabilitation to help them to return to their sport. Athletic training is going into emerging settings. We're in the industrial setting. We're in the military. We're working with police and fire departments, things like that. So you've got different challenges. It's just trying to get them back to a level of function that allows them to do the activity they love. It's still a people profession. You still got to sit down. You still have to have the heart-to-heart with them and say, look, I know we've been working our tail off here, but you've got to see it. That you're just not ready to go back yet. I know you want to play. I appreciate that, but it's just not going to happen right now. And most times, the athletes will tell you that they're not ready to play before you are ready to tell them that they're not ready to play. And when they have that, when they get that realization and they know it, they'll tell you. They'll tell you.
Associate Professor and Director of Research in the Masters of Athletic Training Program, Dr. Scott Bruce, and Cleveland, Ohio native graduate student Megan Etter. To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Created State Podcast at the Created State Podcast page at kasu.org. It's also available at iTunes or Google Play. You can also listen on the NPR app, and it's also available at Spotify, iHeartRadio's app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget to tell others about the Created State Podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. That would allow us to be able to get the podcast to more ears. We would always love to hear from you. You're listening to A-State Connections on KASU.